Blitz. Hour number two of the Blitz begins now on Fox Sports Knoxville Fan Run Radio. Rick, Brandon, and Weston hanging out with you for the next hour or so, leading you into Talk Sports. And then it will be The Drive, which, if I'm not mistaken, will be at Smoky Mountain Brewery today.
You 3 would to 6 be PM. Correct.
Boom. Burger Day. Few things better in life than Burger Day. They got that at Smoky Mountain
Brewery
today. So go be sure to drop by there. 3 to 6 p.m., Russell will be back. Russell, Bear, Trey, they will have things rolling. And then, of course, overtime, sitting down from 6 to 8 p.m. tonight. Speaking of tonight, we talked about it a little bit, towards the beginning of the show, but well, let's kind of dive into these MLB playoffs right now because, just like that, maybe the favorites from each, I can say definitely the favorites, right?
Yeah, I mean, everybody.
Definitely the favorites from both the American League and the National League find themselves in a Game 5 situation coming up.
Yeah, I mean, Yankees made short work of the Twins, which is kind of surprising. I thought the Twins would put up more of a fight than the Rays did. But yeah, you've got Game 5s.
Well, really, the American League, yes, and then the two best teams out of the NL.
Yeah, Braves and Dodgers, Game 5, and anything can happen in those. We were talking with Cody the other day before – or during one of those games, and I think the Dodgers were winning. I guess it was game four. And Cody said he hates the games where the other team is facing elimination and they're at home like game four for the Cardinals and the Nationals, where the other team just has nothing to lose. And then the Braves and Dodgers, it's like, we do have another game if we were to lose this one.
Yeah.
And it's just, as a fan of those teams, I'm sure it's frustrating. And now you're in a Game 5 situation, win or go home.
Can you imagine, being a Warriors fan for that, 2017 NBA Finals, up 3-1?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, talk about the biggest instance of a team with their backs up against the wall with literally nothing to lose each and every night. You know, they ended up rattling off four straight, winning the championship. You know, but I totally agree with you. So that is what you have tonight, 5:02 p.m., St. Louis at Atlanta. Pitching matchup, you got Flaherty versus
Fulton Nedich.
Thank you.
Thought you were might have trouble with that one.
I was having trouble with that one.
I kind of wanted to see what you were going to say. How would you have said it? Because if he did not...
Fulty Nowicks.
If he did not play for the Braves and the Mets didn't play him about 15 times a year or however many they play, I wouldn't know his name either.
I mean, you laugh at Fulty Nowicks, but... That is exactly how you would pronounce it if you were just going by spelling.
Yeah, if you're just going, phonics.
Yeah.
Phonics.
If you want to make the road trip down there today, or maybe you're in the Atlanta area, you know, we have listeners in Germany. I'm sure we have some listeners in Atlanta. You can pick up yourself a ticket for $69.
Nice.
Yeah. Game 5 playoff baseball, Braves-Cardinals.
For the low price of $69.
What more could you want?
Wow, I figured they'd be more.
Well, just wait. Then, 8:37 p.m., so right there smack dab in the middle of the Wednesday night wars. Anyways, you got Washington taking on Los Angeles. You got Strasburg on the mound versus Bueller. Tickets as low as $43.
Ooh. You got a lot of stuff going on in L.A.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, talking about plenty of things to do for entertainment.
Gotta keep a shortage.
Got to keep the prices reasonable.
Yeah, there you go. So that's what you got tonight. If you had to make any predictions for these games, what do you think? What do you think happens with each?
I think the home team gets it done in each series. I think we'll have chalk. I think Dodgers and Braves get it done.
Yeah, I think I'm more confident in the Dodgers. But
it's not me. Not me.
Really?
No, I am more confident in the Braves.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, look who the Nationals have to go up against.
I guess that's right.
They're going up against Steven Strasburg.
There are a few guys that you want to go up against less in this situation than Steven Strasburg.
I'm worried about the Braves. I think they may get beat. My World Series winner.
Oh, that would be a bummer. Are you a Braves fan, too?
They're not my team, but my grandfather's a
sure.
huge Braves fan, and I've been to a lot of games over the course of my life, so.
Yeah, you'll pull for him.
Right.
There you go. Well, that's what you got tonight. I want to pick a upset.
Flaherty lost the game that he pitched. The 3.86 ERA, 8 strikeouts.
Okay.
Fultonevich, no runs allowed, 0 ERA, 7 strikeouts. In seven innings pitched.
Pitching advantage, Braves.
Well, I mean, maybe he may have just had a bad night. Flaherty may have just had a bad night.
Well, you never know when that can carry over.
Yeah, you never know when.
You have a bounce back.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, I'll go Washington. I will say Washington and Atlanta advance tonight.
Oh, you're picking the Nationals?
Yes.
I'm still picking the Dodgers.
I'm going to go. I wanted to pick an upset, so I'm going to go with Washington.
No, I can't. No.
There's nothing on the line here.
I don't want that.
Why?
Because then one of those teams is going to the World Series. I can't have that. They're both division rivals. I can't have that.
You want me to factor in your fandom to my predictions? Is that what you're asking me to do?
No.
Well, then let me pick the Nationals and the Braves.
I'm just saying, I hope that doesn't happen.
Me too. I would also like the Dodgers to advance, for sure. But I'll go with Washington.
You sicken me.
Did you see Justin Verlander last night?
No, I didn't catch any of that game.
Tampa Bay, maybe a team of destiny.
No, they're not.
Hey.
No, they're not.
Hey. You never know.
Stop. No.
Brandon.
No.
Last two games, they have scored 14 runs.
Okay, big whoop.
Brandon, they're on a roll right now. You can't dismiss it. They beat to a pulp Justin Verlander last night. He didn't even make it out of the second inning.
They just bombarded him.
He let up, let me check what it was. I think it was 3 in the first.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 3 in the first. Oh, 13 hits.
Yeah.
Oh, yikes.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
But get out of here with that Team of Destiny crap.
Look, talk about a team with nothing to lose. The Rays, their fans don't even want them there. They don't care about them. They're at the games, but they don't care. What do the Rays have to lose at this point? They already think they're getting shipped out. Next year, they probably got to go play half their games in Montreal, Canada.
Not probably. They do.
They do. What do they have to lose?
I don't know. Did you watch the game last night? Was Tropicana, was it full or was it pretty empty?
It was like 80-90% full, and they were loud.
Good for them.
It was a better environment than the Braves had the other night.
Good for them. Let's go back to the next door home group hotline. Let's get a call from Josh. What's up, Josh?
What's going on, Rick? Brandon?
Hey, how's it going, Josh?
Good morning.
I'm going to sicken you a little more, Brandon. I'm picking the Braves and the Nats, too.
No.
You can't do that, Josh. That interferes with Brandon's fandom.
Yeah.
As I've learned.
Most Mets fans, they're pretty soft when it comes right down to it.
You're right.
Soft?
You're right. That is
soft.
A trait.
To put up with all the crap that I've seen from the Mets organization?
No, I put it this way. If you had a team, if you were the manager and you could pick between Buehler and Strasburg, which one would you pick?
Strasburg, don't even have to think about it.
Not even close. He's a monster. And honestly, if I could pick out of any four pitchers that are pitching today, he's number one.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, in all of baseball, Josh, he's right up there with just about anybody. I mean, he may not be the first choice, but he's right up there. He's probably top five.
Yeah, him and Cole, that would be the two to me.
Yeah, and that's who the Astros will be sending out on, what is that, Thursday?
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Astros, they're not going to lose to the Rays, but listen, the Rays, I mean, the Astros are not unbeatable. The Yankees could easily beat them.
Yeah.
Nobody hits like the Yankees do. And the Red Sox showed last year, it's not all about pitching. You can hit and score runs. You can win it all now.
Yeah.
So. But, hey, the Braves are going to get it done today. I'm pretty confident. I don't think, St. Louis, they don't hit, man. They can't hit. And we play horrible and honestly should have swept them, even playing horrible.
Yeah, I mean, the two games that you all lost, y'all, I mean, really should have won both of those.
Yeah, I mean, we just if we just a clutch hit or two away from – and, they're hits, man. They're like Texas leaguers, every one of them. And we've not had anything fall. Can I have one damn Texas League single before this series is over with? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be the Braves and the Nats, Brandon. And I think it'll be the Astros and the Yankees. And then I'm hoping it's Braves and Astros because, man, to beat them, that would be, to beat either one of those Yankees.
Yeah.
After they beat us at 96. But, I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. I'm tore out of hell. Can't hardly get anything done today.
are you excited, nervous today? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I've just seen us, crap a bed so many times. But I will say this team, it's better than all those other teams. This team's better.
Well, we've never had. Y'all got about six more hours until first pitch.
Yeah, I'm going to get 12 platinums, and I'm either going to celebrate or drown my sorrows. One
there
other,
you so. Go.
We'll see how it goes. But
and
go Bravos.
Run it back on Saturday.
Y'all hang in there. Take care. See.
Hey, see you, Josh. Appreciate the call. Look forward to hearing from Josh tomorrow.
Hey, I have some ESPN put out their 2019-2020 college basketball preview.
Really?
Yeah.
Are we on there?
How about?
Oh. Ooh.
I read the article, and then I'll tell you after the break.
Okay.
I just found it.
All right. Sounds good to me.
We'll let you know. They got a bunch of stuff. It's pretty good. Yes. Tennessee does make it in some noteworthy spots.
There we go.
Yeah. We'll get more into that. Much, much more. Again, if you want to call the show today, just like Josh did, you can give a call to the Next Door Home Group hotlines, 865-546-8200. We'll be right back on the other side of the break. A preview to get through. Did I just hear something in my ear? Did it sound like a zipper? Did you guys hear that? It was like a distinct zipper sound.
I think you're
that
crazy.
Just came through my headphones.
I think you're losing it.
It was very distinct. Couldn't have mistaken it.
I didn't hear anything.
Wow. Anyways, okay. College basketball preview, preseason picks, rankings, total coverage, whatever. Let's get into the good stuff. So first off, they got their way too early bracketology, which is always fun to look at because of how meaningless it is. But, you know, we're suckers for the meaningless stuff. So we got our guy Joe Lunardi. He has his bracketology. Who would like to guess where Tennessee is?
I will say 7 seed.
6 seed.
9 seed.
9.
They got us at a 9. Not moving from whenever the previous bracket and I guess August was. So they've kind of kept Tennessee where they are. And you know that I know that the postseason is so far away. Right? We're not even at the preseason yet. And we're talking about way too early for the postseason. But to me,
I feel like we're in the preseason.
Well, I mean, I guess technically, you know, it hasn't started.
Right.
But it's very close. So I see what you mean. But, you know, I think that a lot of us kind of, that's around where the expectation is, right? The maybe 6, 7, 8, 9 range in the tournament.
Yeah.
And so I totally see that 9 seed being legit. And I really think that the only way it kind of moves up before the season starts or kind of early in the season is dependent on Juroš Plavšić. Like, I think that if he is confirmed to be eligible for this year, I think that gives Tennessee probably a little more justification or a little bit more credibility to be a little bit higher in the rankings. But until then, I see it. I mean, the team is going to be what it is, right? There's a lot of unknown parts to this team.
Yeah, I mean, really the only two proven commodities you have are Jordan Bowden
and
Lamonte Turner.
Right. And even them, you know, who we all love, right? And I'm not, you know, trying to knock them at all, but you know, we have seen in the past, you know, those two guys in specific. I'm thinking of last year. You know, they both had a cold run, you know, for a while. And so I don't expect that necessarily as much this year because I think when you turn the keys over to certain guys, they absolutely elevate their play. And I absolutely expect that out of Lamonte and Bowden this year. But other than that, you got a lot of unknowns. Right? Let's think. Did Eve Pons grow offensively at all over the offseason?
I hope.
You would really hope so. What is a guy like Jalen Johnson going to look like this year, right? Who saw spurts of action here and there last year, but, you know, never really solidified himself as a rotation piece. And then you just got a bunch of new guys. You know, you have... I haven't even talked about our 5-star yet. What are some of these recruits going to look like? You're bringing in Josiah James. You're bringing in Olivier Kimwa. You're bringing in, who else? Devontae Gaines and Drew Pember and potentially Juroš Plavšić. A lot of unknowns for this team. So, you know, I think that really throughout this whole offseason so far, I haven't changed my mind a ton. You know, I never really changed my mind around the Blackshear situation. The Blackshear situation only would have made my prediction go higher, right? But it didn't change at all when, you know, we didn't get him. So I'm still where...
You had to bring that back up, didn't you? You just had to bring it up.
Brandon.
You know how I feel about this.
Brandon. It's time to get over it. Saying that in a loving way. Move on. That move on came out a lot harsher than I. That was a mean move on. That was like a move on. I mean, like, hey, we can move on now. We didn't get him, unfortunately. But you know what? When we see Florida, of course we can get riled back up. But hey, come on,
how am I going to move on when I have to play this guy?
You're really still kind of bitter about it?
Yeah, I'm still very bitter about it.
That he didn't pick us?
Mike White and his stupid small shirts and his stupid face.
Who is a more punchable coach, Mike White or Dan Mullen?
Ooh, good question. Ooh. Good question.
This calls for a very educated answer, so I got to look up a picture of both so I can perfectly
gut reaction. I'm going Mike White. I'm going Mike White over Dan Mullen.
I'm going Dan Mullen. That goofy smile, that cheesy, stupid smile. I think it's much more punchable.
Weston,
Mike White, he kind of just looks like a nerd.
Exactly.
Can I split and like slap them both?
No.
Creative though.
We demand decision making, Weston.
We demand that you punch one of the Florida coaches. Pick one.
Dopey Dan.
Yeah.
I hate Mike White.
It's a pretty good question. I'm gonna put that on a poll. Who is the more punchable Florida coach?
So what else do they have? What else did this preview have?
It was very kind of specific. You know, it had things like the biggest coaching changes, the transfer rankings, all that kind of stuff. The only other thing that could have piqued Tennessee's interest is their, I guess, right before the preseason, top 25. And Tennessee did not make that, nor did they make the next five in line. Justified or unjustified?
You said they didn't make the top 25?
No, they did not. Nor did they make the next five.
Well, you know what I like?
So they don't have them in the top 30.
You know what I say to ESPN?
We got two words for you.
No. To hell with ESPN.
Basically the same thing.
I am going to ride with NBC Sports as they released their college basketball.
I ride with Fox Sports because we get blitzed.
Anyway.
Okay.
They have, NBC has Tennessee ranked 23rd in way too early top 25. So I guess it's not way too early anymore, is it?
No.
It's just a little too early.
We're at the early.
Yeah.
I feel like we've shaved off the way and the two. It's just not a way too early. It's not a too early. It's just an early.
Yeah. The number 23 goes through who's back. So obviously we know the players that we lost. And then you got Turner, Bowden, Pons, Fulkerson, and Jalen Johnson coming back. You've got Josiah, Jordan James, Drew Pember, Olivier Kimwa and Devontae Gaines as your newcomers, and they have the projected starters as Turner, Bowden, Josiah James, Eve Pons, and John Fulkerson. This is a little write-up they have.
Okay.
Missing out on Kerry Blackshear really hurt. Yes, it did. Because the Vols have everything other than a big man. Lamonte Turner should be able to make Tennessee fans forget Jordan Bone left early. Josiah James should have an immediate and significant impact as a freshman. And there's a lot to like about Jordan Bowden. But not having that rock to anchor the offense, a guy that to fill the Grant Williams role, is why Tennessee is at the back end of the top 25. And I think that's fair. I think that's kind of what we all... I mean, without a big man, if you don't get Plavsic in here, I think it's going to be a pretty rough season.
Well, that's the thing, is that when Grant and Admiral in specific, and then you can also put in Kyle Alexander to it too, when they left, they essentially left two big holes on the team. Number one was in the leadership department, and number two was in the size department for actual on-court play. Now, the leadership department, right, I think that everybody feels good because it's a very strong culture right now from everything that we've heard, from everything that we've seen. We believe, I think we're all in unison, right? Lamonte Turner and Jordan Bowden are your guys this year. That's who you're rallying behind, so on and so forth. But what Turner and Bowden cannot fill is the hole for the size on the court, right? And so that's where you're going to have to figure out what you're going to, what are the different kinds of things you're going to do to be able to put size on consistently. And again, if Plavsic is there, then that's fantastic because that is your unmitigated five, no doubt about it. He stands by the boards, and that's his game. But if you don't have that, you're a little undersized, and you're really trying to figure out where that size is coming from and how you can kind of play small ball, especially when you're going to go against some bigger teams in the SEC.
Yeah, and I mean, some other teams that are on this top 25, and then they give a like the one that you had. They have the five that just missed. Washington is just outside of the top 25. That's a team that's on Tennessee's schedule. VCU, they have at 24, who is a team that Tennessee could possibly play if they were to, depending right on how that tournament down in Florida goes. Auburn at 22, Memphis at 21, which I thought was a little low compared to where everybody else has them. LSU at 19. Let's see who else we've got here. Big jump until you have another one. I think Florida at 7. Yeah, you got Florida at 7 with Mike White, and then you've got Kentucky at 2.
So ESPN has Florida at 4, Kentucky at 3, Michigan State and Kansas at 1 and 2 respectively. Let me see what they have. So ESPN has Memphis at 14.
Which, so Memphis not getting all – I mean, everybody's kind of high. Like, I thought that Memphis would be a lot higher than that. I mean, they've got the number one player in the country. They've got, like, they're almost starting all freshmen, which I guess would make sense for the low ranking. But, I mean, when Kentucky does the same thing.
Who do you think is a better team, Memphis or Florida?
I mean, I
get that we haven't seen any of them, and for most of these Memphis players, but I guess who do you think will have a better season?
I would say Memphis because they have the easier schedule.
Well, then I guess that's not the right question. I guess it is just kind of who do you think will be a better team?
Florida because they have veteran leadership. I mean, Florida's got the star power too. I mean, Trey Mann, who is a guy that that Tennessee was in on and missed out, who ended up going to Florida. They've got Noah Locke back, Andrew Nimhard, Keontae Johnson, all those guys coming back. Now they do lose Kevon Allen. So, he was kind of the guy that's the straw that stirred that drink last year. But you add Kerry Blackshear Jr. I think Florida, just because they're a little bit more experienced than what Memphis will be.
Here's something I wonder in terms of Memphis. And maybe this is just a complete shot in the dark, and maybe this is just, you know, total reckless speculation. But you look at a lot of these schools that rebuild each and every year with the recruiting classes, and then they kind of see them go, right? You know, Duke does this a lot. Obviously, we know Kentucky does this a lot. But I think that at those specific schools, right, like those schools are built for, you know, the notion that guys are going to come in for 1 year, they're all going to play together, and then a lot of them are going to leave, right? Like that is nothing that, you know, they're trying to figure out on the fly. John Calipari knows exactly how to take a top five recruiting class, bring them in, and then probably send 3 to 4 to the NBA, right? At least, you know, around that number. I wonder if Memphis has any trouble with it because, you know, this kind of is the first time. You know, it's not like they've had a history of, you know, especially a very recent history with this administration of, you know, just bringing in multiple good, you know, top 5, top 10 recruiting classes, bringing in these really good guys, you know, and then just constant turnover, getting guys to work together good immediately.
Well, I mean, they've not had it since Calipari was there.
Right. And so I wonder if that might play against their favor this year. I don't know. Maybe it's a dumb thought. But
no, it's a fair question because, I mean, it seems like every year Kentucky kind of has that early season loss but by the end of the year, Cal's got them kind of gelled together. They're playing well.
Yes, and it's like clockwork, right? Because he's done it so many times before. Because Kentucky ultimately is a program that's built for the transition grad to the NBA very, very quickly.
Yeah, I mean, it's the John Calipari way. I mean, he kind of invented the whole one-and-done thing. I mean, it's kind of his deal.
Right. And so then,
if anybody knows how to do it, it's him.
And so then, you know, I guess not to the exact same levels, but obviously, you know, your blue bloods are doing a lot of the same things. I mean, remember Duke just pulled, you know, got, what was it, like 3 of the top 5 guys in one class, brought them in for 1 year, and then, you know, sent them all out as top 10 draft picks in the NBA draft, right? So even, you know, even those programs, you know, they all kind of know how to work these guys together so quickly, you know, and be able to still have a great product because that's what their programs are most of the time. Now, obviously, you know, that's not saying, you know, Memphis couldn't do it because they haven't done it, but it's just a thought, right? Like, I just wonder, you know, maybe it takes them a little bit of extra time or maybe, you know, things go off the rail a little sooner than expected or maybe it's just super unexpected. But just a thought.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to be extremely talented, but to get all those guys to kind of play well and mesh together, I don't think it's going to be easy for Penny Hardaway.
Yep. Hey, we're coming up on the home stretch of the Blitz. Do not go anywhere. We got a good ending. We'll see you there. Fan Run Radio. Back here on the Blitz, 11:40 a.m. Got about 20, 25 minutes or so left in the show today. Rick, Brandon, and Weston hanging out with you. Chance Collins makes his return on Monday, I believe it is. Monday, which we are very excited for. Brandon, you said you had a couple last Tennessee thoughts to close out the day.
Just some stuff from practice. Let's see. Yesterday, Jameer Johnson, said looked like he was a full participant during position drills. Also, freshman Quaveris Crouch was working with the inside linebackers during yesterday's open period instead of the outside linebackers. So, Crouch running on the inside.
I think it's probably a good move.
And then you have Brian Maurer, who's working with the first team in drills for the quarterbacks, which we all expected.
Yeah. I mean, even though Pruitt hasn't come out and said it, you know, I guess directly to the media, like we can see it, the writing on the wall. There's no way that Maurer doesn't start.
Well, he did say that it would take a bad week at practice for him not to start. He said he had to have a bad week at practice. And there were reports yesterday that He didn't have a great practice yesterday.
Yeah. You can't make the switch. You can't go back.
I mean, I don't think you can either.
And
I'm just telling you what the reports are.
If he had a bad practice, he had a bad practice. I don't know. I don't.
What if he has a bad week of practice? Pruitt said if he had a bad week of practice, that's the only way.
I guess if, like, if we're sitting here on Friday and we're like, hey, everybody in the town is talking about the reports coming out that he had just miserable a week of practice, a whole week, couldn't get it together. Not just a bad day, not just a bad drill, a horrible week. Then I'll certainly give it some credibility, and I'm sure that'll be the only thing we talk about on the Tennessee Tailgate Show before. But no, I'm not there yet. If he had a bad practice, let's see what he does today. Have a better practice today. Yeah, that's our quarterback. There's no doubt.
Hashtag.
It's not changing my mind.
My QB.
I'm not changing my mind. And I really don't think there's a lot of things that Maurer could do besides just, you know, total incompetence, right? Like, I don't know, he brings out a baseball glove, right, on like the first drive that would say, hey, maybe it's time to put Garantano or Shrout in. I think Maurer's the guy that you're rolling with the rest of the year.
Yeah, I mean,
bad practices and all, whatever.
I mean, if they
he's like 19. He's probably going to have some bad practices, all right? Come on.
Maybe he's just a gamer.
You think he plays video games?
No.
Oh. Ah.
He turns it on when he's not a practice guy. He doesn't practice well.
Practice?
But when the lights come on, it's time to shine.
It's a noon game. But there will be no lights.
No. Anyway. Back to basketball.
Basketball?
Yeah, back to basketball. I wanted
from 20 minutes ago?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, I'm in. I love it.
I forgot that I had this little nugget of information.
Ooh, back-to-back days with some nuggets. Love it.
Tennessee announces that 2 men's basketball games are already sold out.
Wow. Is one of them, is it Kentucky and Florida?
No. Kentucky and Auburn.
Okay, that makes sense.
And fewer than 1,000 tickets remain for 3 other home games, Memphis, Wisconsin, and Florida.
People want to come, people want to see the Badgers. Pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean that's gonna be it's gonna be a good game. It's a couple days after Christmas. Ooh, the Florida game's the day after my birthday. Ooh, and it's a leap year. It's a leap year this year.
Is it really?
Yeah.
So it already happened?
No, 2020 will be a leap year. This upcoming year will be a leap year.
Okay. This year threw me for a
loop
there.
This upcoming year, sorry.
So there's 364 days.
No.
What?
366. Normally there are 365.
That's what I said. 366. That's what I said the first time.
No, you said 364.
Nope. I think I said 366, Brandon.
I can run the tape back.
No, you can't. It is it's gone forever. I said 366. Next year, leap year, don't forget.
Tennessee also announces that they have sold 15,310 season tickets for men's basketball so far.
Wow.
I gave you an update, what was that, last week?
Yeah.
That it was like 13,000.
Yep.
So, numbers going up. That's the most since 2008-2009 when Tennessee sold 16,645. Single game tickets went on sale yesterday.
While we're just kind of, you know, random little, it's like we did, if you haven't heard a segment earlier right now, but did you see the stats on the audience viewership for the Tennessee-Georgia game? Because no. Those stats were, it was kind of crazy. Apparently, according to the Tennessee football Twitter account, 3.9 million people watched that game.
Why?
Making it the most watched game in the month of October on cable television since 2017.
Why? Why this game? There have been so many better games.
Hey, if you want to take a positive spin on it, I kind of wonder if it's, you know, a lot of people tuned in there when it was 14-7 or whatever it was, and a lot of people were like, well, I'll be damned, look at Tennessee. But then a lot of people also probably, you know, oh, I can't wait to see how they mess this one up. Oh, I can't wait. I know. Most watched game in the last 2 years on cable television. Your Tennessee Volunteers. Last segment of the Blitz coming up next. I made a statement a second ago, and I'm going to stand by it.
You're just completely wrong.
If you wait to celebrate Christmas after Thanksgiving, you're just dumb.
No.
It's just stupid.
No.
You are selling yourself short of the world's greatest holiday.
Who needs 2 months?
Everybody.
No.
It's the best holiday. No. The second that Halloween is over, it is like, hello, knock, knock, Christmas season is here. I think that it is perfectly acceptable, if not encouraged, to celebrate Christmas starting after Halloween's over. I don't like it when people say you got to wait till Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is not relevant enough of a holiday to postpone Christmas.
Whoa. First of all.
What?
It's not an important enough of a holiday. It's like number two. Thanksgiving is like number two.
I mean, it's a great holiday. I'm not trying to sell it short.
You get to
eat a lot of food. You know, America's team plays all the time. It's a great day. But there's no build up to Thanksgiving. Then there's no movie marathons of Thanksgiving.
No, because it's not over-commercialized like Christmas, Rick.
You know, on the actual day. You might see Ernest Saves Thanksgiving on the actual day. The Macy's parade, it's all going on. There's no build-up to it, though.
I love the Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade.
It's fantastic, but that doesn't mean you got to just cut off the entire Christmas season.
I'm not cutting it off. I'm just not giving it an extra month like you clowns.
Thanksgiving has a perfect little niche right there inside the Christmas season. You can be festive towards the winter. You can you know, wrap up fall with Thanksgiving. Doesn't mean you can't be playing your Christmas music on November 5th, though.
This is the correct take, Rick.
Thank you.
No, it's not. Thank you. Who needs 2 months? I feel like most people would be with me.
We are 23 days away from Christmas season.
No,
like I hope
we
you're
are not.
I hope that like that's something that you're aware of. I mean, November 1st, you know what we're starting the show with? A brand new Christmas-themed intro.
No, we are not.
Yes, we are. Absolutely.
Over my dead body.
That seems extreme. You need a...
So, you know what else seems extreme?
You need to be
playing Christmas music for an entire damn month.
Look at this guy. We got a real Ebenezer Scrooge on our hand. You know why he doesn't want more Christmas? Because he hates Christmas. He hates the joy that comes with
Brandon
Christmas.
Brandon hates Christmas.
This is just another example of
Brandon
the three
hates Christmas.
The three
Brandon hates Christmas.
Christmas.
All right.
Brandon hates Christmas.
All right. Y'all can. Yeah.
Can't take the heat. Get out of the kitchen.
While we're on this debate, where do y'all stand on candy corn?
Out.
I love it.
I like candy corn.
Yeah.
What's there to hate?
Yeah, seriously. It's just a good piece of candy.
It's waxy and just...
It's good.
No, it's not.
I bet you like Circus Peanuts, don't you, Weston?
No. No.
You like Circus Peanuts.
I really don't.
Just as much as you like a fillet of fish.
That right there, that does it for the show today. Thanks for hanging out with us. We will see you back at the same time, same place tomorrow. For Weston, for Brandon, and myself, Talk Sports coming up next. Otherwise, you've been listening to The Blitz, Fan Run Radio.